Join me in John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. As I am moving through the book of John, I actually intended to move past this particular section of John chapter 8. Had already begun some work in the remaining portion, but then was brought back to it. So here we are. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of our Lord. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with a woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word and our understanding. You remember the movie of The Passion of Christ some years ago? A very impactful movie. Any and all scenes in it had a particular emphasis and message to all of us. There was one scene in that movie that gripped me immediately, and the first time I saw it, I began to weep. It was the scene in the movie portraying this story. And for those of you who saw the movie, I'll remind you just a bit of the scene. It shows these men who are ready to stone the woman for her sinful acts. And the camera is placed behind Jesus looking out, and you can see the men. And you see Jesus stoop down and begin to drag his finger very dramatically through the sand. And these men begin to drop their stones. But the most absorbing part for me was, as the camera is behind Jesus looking out, and you can see the men there, from off camera, you see the woman's trembling hand reaching in and grasping our Lord's feet. He then reaches down, takes her hand, and lifts her from the ground. And in his eyes, the truth of no condemnation is seen. In her eyes, you can see that she realizes there is no condemnation from this man. This man, Jesus, did not condemn her. and she was indeed forgiven. I've gone back this week, and with the assets of YouTube, you can pull out that particular scene, and I've watched it many times. Because you see, that woman reaching out her hand, that's me. That's me reaching for my Lord's feet, begging for his forgiveness. That woman is also you, begging for forgiveness, because you see, we are all sinners reaching out, begging for the forgiveness, grasping at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we, just like the woman portrayed in the movie, but more particularly the woman portrayed here in Holy Scriptures, we hear just as she heard. Neither do I condemn you. In Romans 8, chapter verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1, Paul writes, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We who are in Christ Jesus, we who have called on his name as Savior, we who have bent the knee before him, acknowledging our sin, confessing before him, calling on him as Lord, there is no condemnation. The question becomes, are you in Christ Jesus? Meaning, are you among those who have reached out and acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you spiritually reached out, begging the Lord for forgiveness? Are you in Christ Jesus? In our story here, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus so they can accuse him of blasphemy, so they can have a valid reason for killing him. He, however, does not fall into their trap. He rather asks, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first one to cast the stone." Because you see, in the tradition of the law here, the accuser was the one who stoned the one being accused, or the one found guilty of the said crime. You see, they were trying to get Jesus to disagree with the law, work on his own behalf, so that they could accuse him of blasphemy according to the laws of Moses. But Jesus did not fall in their trap. He did not disagree with the law. He simply called on them in their purity to be the first ones to cast the stone. And as we have read in the story, they could not. Their consciences would not let them. Now, today I don't want to get into the finer parts of the law and dive off in here about the church's role in holding persons accountable for their sin and discipline and all of that. There are other places that give us teaching and ample direction in that. However, here today I want to emphasize the grace. The grace that is seen within our Lord Jesus. The grace, the mercy, the lack of condemnation that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. In this day, adultery is second only to murder. And I'm not really right in saying it's second. Adultery was the pinnacle of crimes in this day. But yet here, we see our Lord Jesus Christ reaching down, raising this woman up physically, but also spiritually, raising this woman up to complete forgiveness, the sins of your life. I've heard some of you tell me that there are sins that they just shouldn't be forgiven. Many of us have pasts that we wonder how the grace of God could cover even that. There is no sin too great. This woman was a sinner. She was guilty of the sin. And Jesus did not look past her sin. In verse 11, he says, go now and leave your life of sin. He is telling this woman to repent. He is telling this woman to change her life. He is telling this woman, get up out of the dirt, go change your clothes, change your life, repent, leave your life of sin. You see, in our Lord's lack of condemnation, he's revealing his love for her. He's revealing the grace that is hers out of his mercy. For her, the sinner who was guilty, but now was made clean, has realized the lack of condemnation that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the story, it's our Lord's love and grace that is front and center. Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you." And as I said, we who have confessed before our Lord, bent the knee before our Lord, there is no condemnation for us. There is no condemnation for me. We are free from the sin that once trapped us. We are free from the sin that once held us in bondage. We are free from the condemnation that comes from a life of sin, the bondage, the trials, the tribulations, the heartaches. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he said, "Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." I'm happy about that. Then he said, "This is what you were." And he's right. This is what we were. Maybe we won't specifically fall into the categories given here, but he's basically saying unforgiven, unrepentant sinners will not be in the kingdom of God. But he says, and that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones says one of the most awesome, greatest words in text is this word, but. But this is what you were. But this is not what you are now. But this is what you were. But the love of God. But the grace of God. And indeed, that is what some of us were. This is what the woman was. But there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As we approach Easter, just a few weeks away, we are now in what we call the season of Lent. For us in this season of Lent, it is a time of concentrated prayer. It is a time of a more concentrated worship. Here in church, but also for you yourself in your private times. But most importantly, I think it is a time when we give to looking inward. when we ask the Holy Spirit to come and lead us in this inward look, to bring out of us and confess and to examine ourselves and confess the sin that carried our Lord to that cross, of which we will acknowledge here come Easter. And here in this season of Lent, maybe you have discovered, maybe you didn't need the season of Lent to be aware that there is a sin in your life that just seems to haunt you. Maybe there's a sin in your life that just keeps lingering. Maybe there's a sin in your life, in your past, a particular character of your nature, a particular something that just continues to hold you captive. I would pray that you would remember our Lord's words. Neither do I condemn you. We have been speaking of revival, praying for revival. It was mentioned during our sharing time. History shows, if you go back to all of the revivals that we have record of in history, there is typically before a large time of revival, there is a lengthened, concentrated time of confession of sin by the people. Almost every occasion. The Holy Spirit begins His work in a time of revival. But before the reviving can occur, the trash has to be taken out. Maybe there's sin in your life that has haunted you. Maybe there's a sin that just keeps lingering and hanging on. Maybe there's that character, that nature, that habit that just holds you captive. Once again, I pray. Neither do I condemn you. Are you at that point today? Are we at that point today where confession needs to be a stronger part of our worship service? Words of repentance. Coming to grips fully, understanding that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In this part of our worship service, I would like for us to go into a season of prayer, a time of prayer, with a couple of objectives. Not to tell the Holy Spirit what to do in any way. But if you are one of those who would like to have a time of prayer, to acknowledge these words truthfully in your heart, that you would like to once again say, Lord, you know that thing. I want to hear and feel in my spirit that lack, that no condemnation from you. Maybe you would like to have as a time here, the acknowledgement of the forgiveness that you feel in your heart. I know for me, in men's Bible study the other night, we were talking just briefly about being saved and coming to know Christ and our history, and my past almost came up, but one of the gentlemen saved me and spoke up and said, we don't need to hear about all that. Praise the Lord. Because that is exactly what it is. It's past. But when I enter this pulpit every Sunday, and I'm sure Dr. Earl would give you a similar language, that he would allow, not only allow, but call someone such as myself to come here to this position and have the greatest honor on the face of this earth, and that is to share the Word of God with the people. Then there's only one way, and that is the realization that the sins of my past are not a condemnation in my life, that I am free from that bondage, I am free from all of that, and I stand here totally, completely forgiven. And so there is much to praise God and pray about. You in your life, where you are right now, God has blessed you greatly. And you want to thank Him openly and outwardly for that. And for the fact that there is no condemnation. We need to do that. Maybe we today, again, just to renew our commitment to the Lord, do as this lady in our story did, as I have this picture in my mind of that hand reaching out and saying, Lord, once again, call me your own.